Welcome to the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with your host, accountant and author Carol Topp, the homeschool CPA. Join Carol as she shares her knowledge on a topic of interest to everyone, money. On the show, Carol will discuss starting and running a microbusiness, teaching your kids about money, and managing money in a homeschool organization. Carol takes confusing topics such as money and business and puts them into clear English. She's ready to share her knowledge with you on today's show.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to the Dollars and Cents Show. This is episode number 26. I'm Carol Topp, your host. And I cannot believe it, but the Dollars and Cents Show is almost a year old. It started in October of 2013, and we're almost to our one-year anniversary. And I might encourage you to try to take a look back at some of the prior shows. I started out with a series to help microbusiness owners, whether that's teenagers or you homeschool moms and dads. And I like to talk to homeschool leaders and encourage them as they run their homeschool organizations. So make sure you check out episodes number 6 and 7 at dollarsandcentsshow.com for some help there. I really enjoyed a 4-part series. Those were episodes number 7 through 10 on teaching kids about managing money. And then it came tax time, so I did a couple episodes on taxes, stuff on money myths that homeschool moms believe. I talked to homeschool leaders about paying workers in a homeschool organization. And then I really enjoyed doing a 4-part series a little more recently. These were episodes number 17 through 22 for about career exploration for homeschool high school kids. And just this late summer, episodes number 23, 24, and 25 were back to encouraging microbusiness owners. Focused on this time making sales presentations and selling your products and services to your customers. So the Dollars and Cents Show has been quite a mix of information about money for microbusiness owners, for homeschool leaders, and just for homeschool families in general. And I hope to continue with some more helpful podcasts in the next year to come. So stay tuned.
Well, hi, everybody. This is Carol Topp, and I have on the line with me Stacy Lane, who is the blogger over at Layered Soul. She's a homeschool mom, and she is going to talk to us about homeschooling and getting out of debt and staying out of debt and the struggle and maybe even the lessons learned and tips she has in doing that. So, Stacy, thanks for making some time out of your day and taking away from, you know, the time you're supposed to be homeschooling your kids to talk to me and my listening audience for a little bit.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Yeah, can you tell us a little bit about you, your family, your blog, what you do?
Yeah, I have 4 kids. My oldest is actually off in college now, so I'm not sure if I should say I still homeschool 4 or it's 3. It's a little awkward for me. And then I have a daughter who's a junior in high school and then 2 younger sons who are 8th grade and 5th grade, and they keep me hopping. I started blogging almost 2.5 years ago, just kind of to want to share my creative ideas and just the way I problem solve differently with the world. So I'm not the best communicative writer, you know, like you sit down, like you feel like you're drinking a cup of coffee. I get very kind of specific and crazy in my ideas, so.
Yeah, that's okay. Your blog is, like I said, Layered Soul, and I'll put that in the show notes. You know, Stacy, I have 2 kids. I homeschooled for 14 years, and it was easy enough to say, you know, they're both in high school or college, or then they're both in college. That was easy to say. But now we have one that I don't know what you say after college, emancipated, grown up, and one still in college. So, you know, it doesn't stay the same, and you're going to figure that out as you go along, too, you know? I've got 4 kids, 3 still at home, whatever. But, yeah, they keep growing up. But we don't get any older, amazingly enough.
I'm looking forward to grandkids. I've seen some fun and excitement with some friends who have them. I'm like, yes, that's where I want to head someday.
Cool. Yeah, but not before it's time is what I said.
No, not before it's time.
No, I said I read in a blog post that you had goals to get out of debt before your first child went off to college. That was one of your goals. Now you have a new goal. Yeah, grandchildren. But, yeah, you kind of measure things in goals like that, don't you?
Yeah, well, I was a young wife and a young mother. I got married at 20 and had my son at 21. And I just remember when he was younger, and I had had a rough upbringing, and I just, you know, it's that I want better for my children, and I knew being in debt would not help, you know, launching him off into the world. So that kind of became my husband and I's goal that before he graduated, we would have the house paid off and we would be in a position to help him.
Wow. And did it work out that way?
It did. We actually paid the house off. I believe he was at the end of his freshman year of his high school. So.
Oh, wow. Even a little ahead of schedule. That's
a little ahead of schedule.
Cool. Okay. Well, share with us, the listeners here, you know, a little bit about what sacrifices it took to have such an ambitious goal, being completely debt-free and paying off your house, you know, when your child was, freshman in high school, you said. So what's that?
Yeah.
That's like 15 or 16 even. Okay.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't something we did overnight. Of course, living on our smaller income, I think that is more realistic. And we bought a small house. My house only has 940 square feet. I have had six people living in it. I had to make it work. You know, it was just kind of always big picture. This is what I have. How do I make it work? So that was, you know, we didn't get the new cars and the fancy vacations and the new much of anything, really. We just recycled everything we could.
Yeah. Is it really difficult to keep a goal like that in front of you for 15 years? You know, when Dave Ramsey has his folks call in, a lot of times their stories are, oh, we had $30,000 of debt and we paid it off in 4 years. And usually Dave Ramsey is very impressed by that because it is really focused. But you stayed focused for 15 years.
Yeah. Well, and that's not to say that some years we took a step back and the hole got deeper, and then some years we gained ground. You know what I mean? It wasn't just like we focused on it and boom, it happened. I mean, it was living it out daily and handling all the curveballs that life would throw at you. My third son was really sick, and we inquired a lot of medical bills with him. You know, I joked when he, on his second birthday, I think he's finally paid off.
Yeah.
You know, it
yeah.
was just one of those things. And so, you know, that was 15, I mean, I don't know how to put, you know, 15 years of life experience into three sentences, but it was, you know, it was daily. It was moment by moment.
Yeah, so you structured your life by mostly having this small house, and you wrote in a blog post I read about a 15-year mortgage.
Yeah.
So you have that kind of long-term goal, but then, as you say, you have these ups and downs along the way, and it happens. And, you know, I remember talking with a friend of mine, and I said something like a lot of financial experts will tell us, you know, have 3 to 6 months of an emergency fund saved. And he looked at me and was like, well, you have a Carol. It's not like it's there forever. I had to dip into it twice, and then I have to replenish the emergency fund. That's kind of what you had, too, in your experience. Yeah.
Yep, and sometimes the emergency fund went zero.
Well, that's why it's there, right, to be used. I mean, hopefully we never use it, but it's there to be used. So at some time you had really tough decisions to make, though, didn't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I still feel today I have tough decisions to make. You know, my husband's health isn't really good, and, you know, at any moment he may come home and not work. You know, and that's a big thing to kind of know that's out there. You know, my septic system is starting to fail, and, you know, that's a price tag of $10,000 or more dollars for fixing or replacing, which just seems huge in my mind.
Well, yeah, those things are. I remember when I was completely a stay-at-home mom, and my husband's job was very tenuous, and he and I talked about it would be a good idea if I had some skills, as we call it, in my back pocket, so I could always pull them out and return to work if something happened to his job. And fortunately, it never happened, but that's when I started studying to become an accountant, got my CPA license, started homeschool CPA, started doing tax returns and things like that, to always have a little bit of something to fall back on in case my husband couldn't work. And that's a really tenuous spot for us to be in as homeschool moms. I bet you see, like, like I do, a lot of homeschool moms that don't have an income-producing skill to fall back on. So they, they run a little leaner, perhaps, than you do because you work for Bright Ideas Press, and then I do because of my accounting.
Yeah. Well, and it's rough because when most homeschool moms are stay at home and then you work, but you're not, you know, and most working moms send their children off to school, it's kind of like you have a leg in both worlds and you got to make it work.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
So,
well, not to be too much of a downer because you did ultimately get on the Dave Ramsey show. I'm kind of a big Dave Ramsey fan. I do enjoy listening to his podcast when I get it. His radio program, and you were one of those folks that got to call in, right, and do the yell?
I actually drove down to Nashville and did his show live.
Did you?
Well, I had some friends who have children who live in Nashville, and they were going to make a trip out and invited me along, you know, so it was an inexpensive trip, so I actually drove down and did the show live, so it was a great way to celebrate.
Oh, that is cool. So did you get interviewed at all, or did you just do the yell? And
we did the yell, and then during the time Dave does come out and he talks to people and he signed my book and I got photographs and
that's cool. So that was cool. It was a great fun experience. And how long ago was that? You remember?
It was probably about six. Let's see. Well, about 6 years ago.
Okay, so good long time since then. So tell us what it's been like since then. I know it's a little bit like reaching a goal weight, you know, with weight loss. And I did. I was on Weight Watcher for like 3 years, hit my goal weight, maintained it for a year, and not so much anymore. You know, so is becoming debt-free like that?
I think it is because obviously – you know, I paid off my house. It didn't free up a huge amount of my income because I had kind of spaced things out. But I did reach the goal, and then, you know, reality was still 4 kids at home, still bills coming in, and things just kind of got reallocated a little differently.
Sure. Unless it was a huge mortgage payment, you're right. And it's pretty easy to take that money. And, of course, your goal was to pay off the house so that you could then afford college or had to help your kids with some college expenses.
Yeah.
And yeah, I find it's a little bit like putting your fist in a bucket of water. You pulled your fist out and it's not like there's a hole there anymore, is it? It seems to fill in pretty quickly. So that even though you don't have your mortgage anymore, boy, there's probably, like you said, pent up demand, or now there's repairs on the house, your septic system.
Yeah.
And yeah, we have repairs on our house after all these years. That there are lots of things that take up the money.
And you can't put a price tag on peace because I think like 2 years afterwards, my husband went through some brief layoffs, you know, and it was one of those things I'm like, well, whatever the plan is, I know they're not taking my house. We may not have lights on, but we're going to have a roof over our head. And so there's always been that little bit of comfort knowing whatever gets thrown at me, like we have a place to sleep.
Yeah. So I guess that's in a funny way, that's what you bought. Not that we can buy peace, but it does bring peace when you have that knowledge of knowing, at least I don't have a mortgage payment hanging over me now.
Right.
Wow. Yeah. Can you talk to us a little bit about how you avoid becoming bitter when you make those sacrifices? How do you hang on to the peace even while you're working at becoming debt-free?
Well, I'm not perfect. I do struggle with it because, you know, you live in a land of social media and Facebook. It's hard to see all the things that are going on. I happen to live in Amish country, and so I tend to always think of their horses with the blinders. Like sometimes I just have to put blinders on and not see everything that's going on around me, you know, and just give it up to the Lord what I need to and focus on what I need to and try not to get sidetracked. And I struggle with it. I mean, to be honest, I see people, you know, making poor choices and being rewarded, as I would say, you know, and it's like, man, how can it be?
Yeah. I had a blog post I did a while back where I talked about contentment stealers or contentment robbers. And these are things that rob your contentment. It's kind of similar to your putting blinders on. So I had to learn to stop looking at advertisements that came in the Sunday newspaper or magazines that made me feel discontent And that's kind of what you're trying to say you're doing when you're like the horse, the Amish horse. You put blinders on and you don't look around you because it might steal your contentment.
Yep. Yeah. Yep, that's kind of the visual I keep in my mind.
That's a really good visual. And I remember, of course, the scripture tells us not to be envious of the rich. And I remember one of my neighbors getting a bit envious, a bit angry that her sister, who never saved a dime for college, was getting all this financial aid for her son, or my neighbor, who did save, didn't get any financial aid for her child to go to college. And I kind of said, don't do that. Don't envy her. Financial aid means loans.
Yep.
So don't think that your sister is better off with this loan settled on her back and her student's back than you, who've been diligently saving and freeing your child from some of that burden and that debt. So it's a funny thing. Money's a funny thing. We don't always see what's behind people's situations, you know.
Right.
Yeah, so you have to keep that in mind. Oh, money's an emotional thing, isn't it? It's an emotional thing.
It is, and it's hard to talk about with a lot of people too. So it's you know, it's not like I could say, oh, I'm struggling with this sin or whatever, and I can go to my sister in Christ. It's like, man, I got to have a few people I can chat money with, or I can bounce ideas off of. And I do have a few close friends that will do that for me, which has always been a great blessing.
Yeah. And do you find I find the internet's helpful? Do you find the internet's helpful? I mean, people like you and other people sharing what tips, advice, encouragement.
If you find the right one, I do. Sometimes the people who are making, you know, three figures and they're paying off amount, you know, I'm like, oh, I can't relate to that. I don't know if there's a lot of people in my income bracket that talk about it so much, you know, because, you know, we're under, you know, $35,000, you know, our take-home pay is a little less than $600 a week. I mean, that goes fast.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the government will tell us, you know, well, you're in poverty. And I'm like, well, I don't feel like I'm in poverty. I am, you know, my kids are happy, you know, food's on the table, we're good.
Yeah. Good attitude that you have. And I think your point about putting blinders on kind of helps with that. You have to look at what you have. And you know, like Paul points out in the New Testament that he learned to be content. It's a learning kind of a thing. It's almost like you have to practice an attitude.
Well, and that's one of the reasons why my blog's called Layered Soul, because I just feel like it's been layer after layer of life experience that has brought me to being debt-free. It wasn't just like I followed, you know, a simple recipe and it happened. So, yeah.
Yeah, you kind of, there are a lot of people that would like to follow a recipe, aren't there?
They can be good.
Well, yeah, there are tips and steps, you know, and we like Dave Ramsey, obviously, you and I, big fans, and he does have his baby steps because it's methodical, and then you know the next thing to do and the next thing to do. But, he doesn't put a timeline on those baby steps, you know, sometimes, like you said, two steps forward, one step back. But, you know, you've also been awfully darn creative about either making money, and you've worked a lot of jobs. You even took your children along sometimes when you worked, if that was possible. And you've been kind of creative about how to be frugal and stuff like that. You wanna flesh that out a little bit for our listeners and give them some hope or ideas or tips?
I've always felt it's been a family event, you know, and I've brought my kids up understanding that, you know, certain things cost money and certain work gave us money. You know, the simple example I always give them is like, okay, let's say I make 10 bucks an hour just because I don't do a lot of mental math and these are even numbers, and we want to go out to eat. Well, going out to eat is $40. You know, that's 4 hours of my time for a meal out. What do you think?
Yeah.
Is there a better way we could spend that? You know, just to help them think it through. And then, you know, if there's been a financial crisis, I'll go to them and say, if I can have you on my team for 10 hours and you can handle parts of my job at home so I can go out, then I can take this money and use it to what we need. You know, and then my kids are, you know, they're on our team and we're all working together to make it happen.
And then there's less resentment on their part. when they understand.
I don't think I've ever experienced that. I know my oldest son, because he had a money class last year at college, and it was talking about that. And I said, so, son, when did you realize that, you know, we didn't make as much money as, say, all your other friends? And he was like, you know, Mom, I never knew anything until I was probably 14. And then I started to notice that a lot of them had, you know, cell phones and different things that their parents had provided for them. He's like, and I had to pay for my own. You know, so that's when he started realizing, you know, that we handled things or things were a little bit different for us. But they never questioned the size of our home or the cars we drove or the clothes they wear. None of that was ever brought up.
Yeah, good. You instilled something, either a good work ethic. Do you think your kids have a good work ethic now because of?
I think we're layering on the experiences, and I get encouraged when I see fruit, but yet they're still teenagers and they will mess up, and I try not to get too discouraged.
I like that. My husband and I were just talking last night about, oh, it's so refreshing when your kids get to be my kids' ages, and they're, what are they, 20 and 23, and they start doing things that look so responsible and so grown up, and you're just like you said, another layer, yay. another layer of them being the grown-ups we want them to become.
Yeah, I hang on to those because then, you know, the next day it's like, what are you doing?
And then a hole gets punched in that layer. That's what you thought.
Yeah, it did.
Okay. So you give us a little bit more. I'm catching a little off guard, so take your time if you want to come up with these, or give us some places to go to. But you said in the blog post that you needed to develop some serious problem-solving skills and some serious ways to cut expenses or live frugally. Can you give us a few things that you found were pretty helpful in your homeschooling life or your family life in general?
Well, homeschooling, to me, in this day and age with all of the internet and the freebies, I think, you know, if you want to put the time in and do the legwork, you can almost do it for free. I didn't have all of that because I've been homeschooling for 15 years. So I know 15 years ago that wasn't quite make it work.
Yeah.
But definitely today, you know, I choose to spend money on things I know I need help with. And we don't have, like, high-speed internet at our house because we live too far out in the country. So we still don't have access to some of that stuff. You know, so there's still some creative thinking that has to go on, like going to the library or the coffee shop or different places in town where we can get Wi-Fi, and just, you know, making it work.
That's cool. I was thinking you were going to say things like, maybe it's true, but Pinterest. Boy, if Pinterest existed when my kids were young, I probably would ignore them most of the time. I wouldn't get any homeschooling done because there's so much cool stuff on Pinterest, so many cool ideas and freebies or, you know, printables or downloadables. Or then there's things like the Khan Academy and videos that kids can watch. And, you know, if you wanted to study science with the library and videos, it can be done the labs, you know, and then you might need some lab sciences. But, yeah, it's pretty amazing how much education is out there. And, you know, there's even things like some college classes, and I've listened to podcasts put out by college professors on topics that I wanted to learn about. This is amazing, you know, that this information is out there if I just get it. So, granted, the fact that you don't have high-speed internet kind of puts a little damper on that. But, you know, I bet your kids are good at reading the way people have learned for hundreds of years, which is books and experience and the library and the things like that. So,
yeah, and then I think family-wise, it just comes down to what you're willing to spend money on and what your gifts are and you can do to save money. I've been cutting my husband and my boys' hair since they were born. You know, so haircuts, which can, you know, $10 a piece. I got, you know, four guys in my house. You know, that's like $40, $50 every 6 weeks. I don't have to budget for because I have clippers and scissors and I can make it happen. But cutting hair would put the fear into some women, and I understand that, you know, but they might have a different gift.
So. Yeah, I've been cutting my husband's hair for a long time, too. He's easy, though. He's got really straight hair, and it's very easy. But, we should do the math someday, Stacey. Add up how much that has been. And you know, for a little while, especially during tax season and after my daughters left home, I started hiring house cleaners to come in every other week and clean my house because tax season was really busy for me. But, boy, they're not cheap. And they broke one of my lights once, and they don't do as good a job as I do, to be perfectly honest. So I decided, well, even though my kids are gone and they were my house cleaners, granted, the house is less messy without them, okay? I think I'm going to pocket the money and go back to cleaning my own house my way again.
Yep.
But that means I'm carving out time from when I could be working. But I think at this point it's worth it. We'll see when tax season comes again if I want to add that expense. But I think what I'm going to do instead of hiring this, like, service is maybe hire a teenager or maybe a homeschool mom or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Because sometimes I could bless somebody else with the little extra money I have.
Yeah, I actually still clean houses for a few people, and my girlfriend, who's a, you know, public school teacher who doesn't have the time to do it, lets me come in, lets me bring my kids, you know, so I can mop the floor and still answer math questions if needed. She even lets us use her high speed internet.
Yay!
You know, so I'm like, this is still a great, you know, great relationship that, you know, has blossomed over the years. She pays my boys to mow her grass, you know, we fix things.
There you go. Because
she's also a single woman, you know, so she's, you know, very limited with what she's got going on, too. So,
right.
Yeah.
I knew one family, they traded house cleaning for piano lessons for, I can't remember, it was at least three, maybe four students that would take piano lessons. So one had her piano lessons while the rest of the family was cleaning the house, and then the next one had her piano lesson, and they kept cleaning.
Yep.
I thought, well, that's pretty clever. Exchange, you know, trading things you want for things you can do.
It's
also a pretty good way to live pretty frugally. Okay, you've shared some great attitudes and some good tips, and I want to kind of wrap up our little conversation here, our time here, with letting you just talk about giving the folks out there that are struggling, would like to be debt-free, or struggling to remain or get back to being debt-free, you know, kind of give them a shot in the arm, Stacey. Give them some encouraging words if you can.
Some encouraging words.
Yeah, you've been there. You've done it. You're still doing it. What do you like to hear? What has somebody said to you that you found very helpful, or what words do you tell yourself when you're getting discouraged?
Usually when I'm getting discouraged, it's because I'm overwhelmed. You know, and it's funny how that feeling of overwhelmness can just wreak havoc on every other aspect of your life, you know, and thinking and the stress and everything that's going on. And I tend to know that I have to somehow find a quiet spot, you know, so that I can, you know, pray through and think through everything that's kind of going on. And sometimes then I find, like, if I just cleaned, the, you know, the grout and the bottom of the shower or something that's been driving me crazy for 3 weeks, why, we don't know. This is just how your mind responds when it's stressed. But, you know, that 20 minutes, usually I can clean it out, and I'm like, okay, I'm not feeling so beat up right now. And I know nobody else in this house cares if this grout has been cleaned or not, but, man, you know, that's like a shot in the arm, and I think I can get up and I can keep going, and, you know, and I find just little bits of encouragement like that just to kind of deal with being overwhelmed. I don't know. To me, overwhelmed and the stress like that just all gets one nasty little ball rolling.
Do you think by what you're doing, your example of cleaning the grout, is sort of you saying, at least this corner of my life I can clean up, or I have under control, or I've improved?
Or it was quiet.
Life,
it
quiet?
Was quiet because, sorry.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it's quiet. No one's chasing after me when I'm cleaning the grout. You know, the kids are like, I want no parts of that. You know what I mean? So for me, it's kind of like a way to kind of be moving and thinking and working through that stress. And then I go, okay, this isn't bugging me anymore. And I've slayed a dragon. And it may only be the grout, but I've slayed this dragon. And I may not be able to slay these other three big dragons, but the day wasn't at a loss.
Well, this has been great talking to you and just hearing about your struggle. Like a lot of homeschool families do, they struggle on one income. You know, you're not alone. I hope they're hearing that they're not alone. There are victories. You guys have made a lot of progress. You know, you've got one son in college, you know, and it looks like, more of your kids to come. And you know what I love most, you said, the government may tell you you're at the poverty level, but you don't feel it. Your kids are content. Your older son didn't notice until he was over 14 that he didn't have things that other kids have. So, there can be contentment and peace even in the midst of, stressful times or chaotic times or lean times.
Yes, and I hope other people can hear that because I definitely think knowing you're not alone can also be the biggest shot in the arm too. Just knowing someone else can relate to you or someone else understands, you know, what you're going through. It's like, okay, there's one other person.
Yeah, I'm not alone. And if they did it, I can do it too, right? If they got through it, still standing, still smiling, haven't turned bitter, that's fabulous. Well, Stacey, thanks so much for your time. LayeredSoul.com, is that right? That's your website?
Yes, it is.
All right. And I'll put a link in the show notes again. And thanks so much for your time and your encouraging words to folks out there. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with Carol Topp here at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. For more helpful information, visit Carol at her website, homeschoolcpa.com.